Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a good weekend. My name is D.A. As Tom mentioned, I'm one of the elders here at The Way. If we haven't met, it's an honor to have you here this morning. Love to meet you after service. Come up and say hey. Or if you need prayer, always available to all the elders to pray with you. If the Lord's laying something on your heart, you've been going through a battle. Would a lot of events in December and the beginning of January, so I encourage you to keep up with that calendar so you don't miss anything. Maybe there's something that you're interested in participating with. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning. If you don't have a Bible and you like one, if you just want to raise your hand, we'll get you a Bible so you can follow along. Always helps to read along so you can ensure that what I'm saying I'm not making up. We like to go verse by verse through the Word. Before we jump into 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to have a new verse, so it's a new month today, first Sunday of the month. We'll have communion at the end of the teaching time, but I would encourage you to be memorizing these verses. We're not going to put it up just yet. We're going to review the last month's verse first, 1 Thessalonians, so we need a couple Bibles if anybody can give a Bible out. I would give you mine, but then we'd be in trouble. I don't have it memorized. So we're getting you a Bible. If just one moment, we'll raise our hands again. So we do one verse per month as a memory verse, okay, for the body. It's an easy way to hide the Word in your heart, right? You got a whole month for one verse. And I know some of you might be involved in multiple other ministries, or at school, some of the children, and it can get a little crazy if you got multiple verses that you're supposed to be memorizing. But prayerfully consider, hey, here's an option if you're not. I was convicted a few weeks back. I was like, man, we're not reviewing this memory verse enough with my family. So we started to do that, make sure we're trying to be consistent in it. So raise your hand if you need a Bible. Does anybody need a Bible? Okay, now put your hands down. Raise your hand if you know last month's November's memory verse. Raise your hand. All right. Carl knows it, huh? What's up, Carl? Who knows the memory verse? Right? I'm not going to make you say it. Everybody's like, go ahead, raise your hand if you know the memory verse from last month. All right. Put your hands down. All right. That's an easy opportunity to hide the Word in your heart. All right. So what is it? 1 Timothy? No. 1 Thessalonians what? All right, go ahead. You started it. Let's see you finish it. That's all right. No cheaters. That's good. All right, let's hear it anyways. Go ahead. In. Yeah. So it's good job. So a way that I remembered it is threes, right? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's two sets of threes is what helped me remember. All right. Well, if that wasn't a tongue twister, this next one will be. 2 Peter 3, 9 will be the memory verse for December. All right. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All right, I'm going to read it one more time. This will be December's memory verse. All right, so be ready, because next month we might call on you. All right? I better know it too. Somebody might call on me, huh? 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's actually going to be one of the verses that we read this morning, 2 Peter chapter 3. Some of the pastors I listen to, just to kind of round the perspective off on the chapter while studying, every one of them taught this in a minimum of 2 to 3 teachings, this one chapter, okay? More than one taught it in 3 hours. We're not going to do that. That's not being silly, but I'm just saying today's chapter, there's a lot. There's a lot of good stuff, and we can't unmind everything that we would like to unmind. So it's important. Maybe you read it on your own sometimes, like go home, or maybe you're in a home fellowship group, and maybe the home fellowship group reads it and continues to pull the diamonds out of these chapters. All right, before we jump in the morning, let's pray. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thank you for bringing us all here, Father. That's evidence that you're at work in our life. And Father, your word is living and powerful. Lord, your word equips us to get to know you, to develop our relationship with you, Father, to develop our relationship with others while we're here on earth. And so, Father, will you please equip us this morning? Jesus, will you please speak to us? Speak to everyone here, everyone listening online. Lord, encourage us. You know what we're going through. You know what battles we're facing. You know our doubts. You know our fears. You know the tasks that are set before us that you're going to do in our life. Lord, will you equip us and speak to us about all those things? Lord, there's some in here who are hurting this morning. There's some here who are downtrodden, they're beat up, they're depressed. Father, will you speak to them in the midst of that and heal their hearts this morning, please? Lord, there's some who might have had doubts about your word or doubts about you, period. Lord, will you please show yourself strong because you love us? Not because we deserve it, not because we can juggle, but simply because you love us. Will you speak to us this morning? In Jesus' name, we all said, all right, here we go. Let's think about it like this. Second Peter, he's in jail. He's about to be killed, likely within 2 to 3 months, and he knows it. Peter's in jail, in Rome, about to be martyred because he's a Christian, and likely he knows it. So he's writing us this very important letter. Hey, I'm about to die. I have something to say. Okay, think about it like that. A way to break up the book of 2 Peter is chapter 1, walking in holiness. Chapter 2, beware of false prophets. And chapter 3, look up, our king is coming. So that's the title today, 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, they will scoff, keep looking up. Jesus is coming back. All right? Here we go, first 4 verses. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, so here he goes. He says, remember this. Now, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Let's talk about it. So they're going to be saying, again, let's read what scoffers are going to be saying. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Capital H, talking about Jesus. Where is it at? Where is he at? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. All right. Be mindful. Remember. Be aware. Be cognizant of. Like, you know when you have to go to work next, don't you? Okay, maybe you're retired. Let's give it up for it. But you know when your birthday is, hopefully. You're prepared for it. Maybe you're not looking forward to it, but either way, a date on your calendar, you're cognizant of it. Paul's saying, be mindful. Be mindful of what? That in the last days, people are going to mock you for following Jesus. Like, it's, imagine you ever seen someone just get popped in the face unknowingly, right? Don't watch the videos, they're horrible. Just someone, they're just standing there communicating, or somebody just gets popped in the face, right? And they're stunned, they're startled, they weren't expecting it. It wasn't like they were going to fight for a belt or anything like that. Someone just clobbers somebody upside the head. The other person's, they're shocked. Let's not be that. When we go to work, or we go to our neighbor, or we tell someone about Jesus, that we let someone know, I follow Jesus. Let's not be shocked when they smack you and say, silly boy, you follow Jesus? Aren't you special? You think that's funny. That means you haven't told someone about Jesus lately if you don't realize it's true. You will be mocked. Or what about if you have this intentionality in your heart when you say, hey, he's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Really? He's coming back? Okay. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an iron. In the end days, there will be some who've heard the gospel, heard it clearly, and walk away from it. Like, nah. Why do they walk away from it? They are seduced by demonic spirits. I'm not making this up. So we either believe it or we don't, but it says it. I can't. So Jude 1:18. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. It's kind of like falling in love with a piece of paper, tissue, versus falling in love with a diamond ring. And the world is a piece of paper. But they paint it up and make it look beautiful and say, ooh-wee, this is special. And God's like, I'm a diamond ring. We fall in love with something temporary that is perishing and going to go away. You ever fell in love with someone, something that didn't last? How much did that hurt? God is warning you in advance and warning me in advance. He's like, I wouldn't fall in love with this if I was you. It's going to let you down. What's interesting about the mockers and scoffers is they're walking according to their own lust. In other words, they have fallen into the trap, not believing in the true riches of God and eternity, but in the world, something that's perishing. They've fallen into the trap, and they love it so much that they lust after it. They're lusting after it in their heart, and that's why they're mocking those who believe in the diamond, Jesus. The devil is going to do everything he can to stop God. The devil is going to do everything he can, all the tools in his tool bag, to stop God. If you follow God, he's going to try and stop you too. Think about from the beginning, Genesis 3 through 4, Cain and Abel. From the beginning, the devil tried to stop someone living in faith for God. Remember the offering. Matthew 13, 1 through 9. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered to him. So Jesus had an opportunity to talk to multitudes of people. What did he say? So that he got into a boat and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. They immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. All right. So in this parable, the seed, and we could explain it some other time, but the seed simply is the word of God, all right? And a farmer went out to sow, and he's sowing the word of God. What is the first thing that happened to the seed? What? Yeah, I never thought about it much either. The bird. The devil. Birds often in Scripture are representative of demonic activity. The very first thing that happened when this word of God was sown was the devil came and took the seed. So when God implants a seed, a word in your heart this morning at church, and you walk out the doors, what do you think is going to happen? You think you're going to get a bunch of high fives when you go to work on Monday? When God has just deposited some diamonds into your heart, the word of God? No, the devil's going to try and take what God gave you. So are you aware of that? Are we mindful? Like, you have to, over time, remember when this happens to you once, twice, three times, like, wait a minute, God just did something fantastic in my life. I need to have my binoculars on because I know I'm about to get attacked. I hate that part of it. Can I just be real? I hate it. I so love when God does something good. I so hate the attack afterwards. I just hate it. But guess what? It won't last forever, right? All right, so, Lord, help me. So here's something that's going on, okay? Just please listen today to the teaching. I pray that God will encourage you. If you just hang in there, I'm not demoralizing anything. I'm just going to teach the word. How about that? All right. So, who owns book fairs? Yeah, good question. You ever been to a book fair as a child? Yeah, I don't know. Guess what? They're all put on by the same company, Scholastic. Oh yeah, right? It's like, oh yeah, duh. We all know that. Scholastic, all right? Scholastic promotes and owns the rights to book fairs in public schools, all right? Since we've been a child, still going on today. Which means they choose what books go in the book fair. Oh, okay. Which means if you got a book and you can get on with Scholastic, think about all the eyes that are going to walk by that book on the bookshelf in the library in public schools all over the country. Well, some authors came up with, homosexual, transgender. Let me be more specific, okay? And I'm saying this with love. So please, just listen, watch where this goes. I bet everybody in this room will be blessed this morning. I bet. I believe everybody's going to be blessed if you hang in there and listen to what God's doing. This is God's word. It's not my word. It's not Bob or John or Tom's or Susie's word. This is God's word. There's no other book that claims that. You don't go to Walmart and there's some other book that you haven't seen before says, this is God's word. If you say God's word, everybody in America knows what we're talking about. It's this. In this, it says that homosexuality is ungodly. Let's put it like this. Let's rephrase it. Just please listen. God made you intentionally a certain way for a certain purpose. He didn't. When he made you, he knew what he was doing, okay? Well, these authors put these books in the book fair that are contrary to what God's word says. It's just different. I would share some quotes, but I don't think it's appropriate to share this morning from some of the books that are going in there. So what happened was parents stood up and was like, wait a minute, my child is 7 years old. You're showing them pictures of undressed children, hello, undressed children in this library, my seven-year-old, that's not right. It's common sense that it's not right. So what did Scholastic do? They said, okay, we'll package this set of books that are specifically related to homosexuality and being transgender in a different group. And the school can ask for that package if they want it. But we won't just put it in the basic package. So when a school says, hey, we want a book fair, they look down this checklist and do you want A, B, C, D, E? And they can pick what books they want in the package. So Scholastic heeded the parents and said, okay, we'll compromise. If school orders that specific thing, we'll put it there. Well, guess what happened? Who got mad? The authors of a book who make money off of the books being sold. Like, wait a minute, no. We want this in every book fair. This is our book. That's not right. It's not right that you make it be in that package. So guess what Scholastic said? Okay. Not only did they say okay, but they put it front and center in their book fairs now. Be wise. In the last day, scoffers will come who mock the word of God. And this is going on for you and your children. What are you doing to prepare and equip your children? How are you loving your child enough to make sure that they are thoroughly equipped for what they're going to experience when they go to school and they say, they follow Jesus? How are they going to answer when someone says, at their age, you follow Jesus? Family, it's important we read the word to our children. We equip them and teach them clearly what the word of God says so that when they get smacked in the face, they're ready to know who and why they believe Jesus. Mom and dad, it's not easy. The world is going to question your methods. I've raised children. The world is going to question your methods when you are convicted by the Lord to make a decision as it relates to your family. Your neighbors, your coworkers are going to be like, what? You do what? It hurts sometimes. Think about this. If the whole world is going one way, and you decide to go another way, is it going to be easy? But it's an opportunity to love Jesus. Verse 5. For this they will fully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This is first the bad news. There's good news. We're going to talk about great news today. If you need good news, you're about to hear some good news. Everybody in this room is about to hear some great news. And it's better than getting chosen for The Price is Right, I promise. All right? Sorry. Here, clearly, the word says that initially the world was destroyed by water. We know that, the flood. It also clearly says that the world will be destroyed next by fire. You ever read the newspaper? And the newspaper says, stocks are about to drop. Oh snap. And maybe you make a decision based on what you read, okay? Maybe you make a decision. Listen to this, okay? The word of God is warning you that at some point the earth is going to be destroyed by fire. He's telling you because the good news he's about to tell you after this. Are you following me? He's telling you what's about to happen so he can tell you the good news later. Family, the earth is going to be destroyed by fire. The word of God says it. Psalm 50, verse 3. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. Isaiah 51, 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore wait upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I might assemble the kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Matthew 24:35. Jesus says it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 10:15, verily I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. People who are rejecting the Lord. Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. John 20:29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. It's very important that we have a biblical, eternal mindset. You may know that. You may know and believe in your heart that one day that this earth is going to be over. You might believe that one day you're going to pass away and die. You may believe that. I hope you believe and realize that one day you're going to not be here anymore. I also hope you have a recognition that before that happens, that God can begin to judge the world. One of the two is going to happen. Either you're going to pass away or God's going to begin to judge the earth. Something's going to happen. There's going to be an end to this. You might know that in your heart. You might have that knowledge in your mind. But this week I asked myself on the way to work, am I living like what I believe? If I believe that this could be it, that I might go on, or that the earth is literally going to end. I'm a Christian, of course I believe that. Do my actions line up with what I believe? Who am I telling about Jesus? Who am I telling that he's about to come back? Who am I telling that they need to put their trust in him if I believe it? Do you believe it? You believe your birthday's coming? You send subliminal hits to us to buy you a birthday cake. You believe the world's going to end? How about you send some bold communication to let other people know? Like, you're about to stand before Jesus. I'm about to stand before Jesus. When I stand before Jesus, will I have laid it all on the line and told as many people that he loves them as possible? What actions do we currently take because heaven is real and we will soon be there? What actions do we take because heaven is real and we will soon be there? Verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes the good news. It's good news. I'm telling you. Listen, guys. It's great news. Do not forget this one thing. That with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any, not that some, but that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all, should come to repentance. God is not delaying his coming because he's not coming. God is delaying his coming because he wants everybody to be saved. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. He reminds us again after he says it. He's like, look, it's ending. It's everybody listening, it's ending. But I'm waiting because I want everybody to receive me. I'm not late. On your timetable, I'm waiting so somebody else will say yes. But I am going to come back. And I do have to deal with it. It's the goodness of God. The day of the Lord in verse 10. Isaiah 2:12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Remember, Jesus talks about, he said, either you fall on the rock and crush, be broken. He says that. He says, either we fall on the rock and be broken, or the rock will fall on us and crush us. And so God is looking for a humility in our hearts that says, you know what? I'm not God. You win. I'm not God. You're God. I humble myself upon the rock, Jesus Christ. I'm yours. That's what he's looking for. He says, if we don't do that, the rock will come upon us. So we get to choose. Will we humble ourselves now? Joel 1:15. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Joel 2:1-31. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. There's been a lot of interesting things in the skies in the last 10 years. Malachi 4:5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Family, I just read to you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plus the ones that were in this morning, this chapter, 5 verses plus a chapter that says, guys, I love you. I'm coming back. Please give your life to me. There's a couple interesting things here. Let's not get too carried away with it, all right? But it's a potential. He said in verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. If you add up, this is not weird. If you just simply do the math, all the genealogies, and go back to when Adam was born, if you take it literally, okay, it would seem that the earth was, that Adam lived in 4004. Okay, that's a potential, all right? You don't get too caught up in it. It's just interesting. 4004 A.D., all right? You tracking with me, Kimisabi? All right. So if a day is like 1,000 years, if you first add up all the actual years, normal years, like we have years, but you use 360 days because they use a lunar calendar instead of a solar calendar in Israel, so you go about 360 days, add up all the years, it would mean that Adam was created in 4004. If a day is like 1,000 years, where are we at on this calendar? 6,000 years, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, after 6 days, do what? Let the land rest. So let's just do the math, okay? 3,000, 2,000, 1,000, 0, 1,000, 2,000. We're at 6,000 years. And you're like, well, he didn't come. Guess that math ain't working out. I'm not delaying my coming. Because I'm late, I'm willing that none perish. Perhaps maybe even the scoffer. Here's another one. Interesting. As it relates to this, you don't have to hang your hat on it. Either way, we know he's coming back. But Hosea 6, 1 through 2. It's just interesting. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. What happened in around 70 AD? What happened? That's right. What'd you say? They were destroyed. They were burned, right? By the Romans. Jerusalem was destroyed in around 70 AD, right? What happened 2,000 years after that, almost? 1948. God said, ta-da. And then they say, hey, after this was written in Hosea, this was written 700 AD, five to 700 AD, Hosea wrote this, five to 700 years before Rome came and did this. And he says, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. When you think about if 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, he's just holding up a few seconds. Verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, he's reminding us again, what manner of person ought you ought to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. He's telling us again, family. Man, this is good. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Go back to who's writing this letter. Who's writing this letter? Peter's writing this letter. And what's about to happen to Peter? He's about to die. How far away, potentially? 2 to 3 months, right? So is he writing us something that's important to him? Yeah, he's writing something that's important to us. And what has he said repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly? God is coming back. He is going to judge the earth. Follow Jesus. And he says it again. God is going to destroy the earth by fire. And he says it again. It's going to melt with fervent heat. He says it repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. So think about 2 Peter chapter 3 like this, okay? Scoffers are going to come because they say, where's he at? Where's he at? Thought you said Jesus was coming. Where's he at? He's not coming. Scoffers are going to come. God says, oh, I'm coming. I'm just hoping you get saved first. That's why I'm holding up a second or two here. Maybe even the scoffer will get saved. And he says, okay, so scoffers are going to come. They're going to make fun of you. I'm coming back. I'm just waiting so nobody should perish. Until then, keep looking up. Don't stop looking up. I heard a pastor say he went on a walk with his dog recently, and the day was perfect. It was pristine. The leaves were perfect. The sun was perfect. Everything felt great. He's walking around. He's walking his dog, and he's like, wow, this is amazing. And he's looking at his dog, and his dog is just sniffing the ground. So he's like, man, look at this. This is amazing. He goes on his little walk and his little hike, and he looks at his dog. His dog is still sniffing the ground. He's like, you're missing this. But the dog is just concerned about trying to find where everybody else left the mark, okay? Just sniffing, looking for where everybody else used the bathroom. How often do we find ourselves in the same position? Well, we're just looking, checking out all the world and what's going on in the world instead of looking up, waiting on the king. He's coming. All right? So listen to this. Luke 12, 35 through 40. Luke 12, this is Jesus talking. It's not D.A. talking. It's Jesus talking. Luke 12, 35 through 40. Let your waist be girded up. Let your lamp be burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching instead of sniffing. I didn't add to that. I added to that. That's not in there. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself. Listen to what Jesus is going to do. It says, to those who are watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or if he comes in the third watch and find them, he doesn't even tell you what time he's coming. He's like, maybe the second watch. But if not, even if it's real, real, real late, third watch, and I find them watching, And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known which hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jesus is like, if a thief was coming in your house, would you be watching if you knew what time they're going to be there? Yes, you'd be watching. Listen to this. He says, be watching for the Lord in the same way's return. Be watching. Be thinking about it. Be chewing on it. Be meditating on it. It could be the second watch. It could be the third watch. We talked about, remember the Mount of Transfiguration we talked about? Let me say two things. There used to be someone important in my life who, he was just, you know, he was a cool dude. And so when I knew his arrival would be at approximate time, I remember I used to just sit and wait for him to show up. It could be 30 minutes. It's been way longer than 30 minutes. But I would just sit there and wait for them to show up. And I'd be watching. Other stuff could be going on. Other people may have thought something important was about to happen. But for some reason, that's just what the Lord did to me. I would just sit there and wait, watching for that person to come back or to get there and wait. And sometimes wait. But I found that every time, I was blessed because of it. Every time. I just was. I don't know why. Or what about when you get home and you find that your children have been waiting and watching for you? What does that do? When you walk in the house and you know that your children have been waiting on you to get there. Like yesterday, I had a couple meetings and I told my children, hey, I'll be there by 1 o'clock. And my children specifically, little disheartened. He's like, okay, all right, 1 o'clock. And I got there, got a little early. So excited to see me. Will we be like that when Jesus comes back? Will we be found waiting? Ready to give that big old hug? Look, I'm not acting like I have this all together and I'm doing this constantly. But this is what God is doing in us. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? All right, so they go up on the mountain. And it's metamorpho-o in the Greek. Metamorphosis is where we get the English, right? So what happens to Jesus? He transforms, he metamorphoses before them like a caterpillar to a butterfly, right? And while we're still here on this earth, I'm justified, right? Yeah, being sanctified and one day will be glorified. What is the sanctification process? I am changing. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. I am not who I was 5 years ago. And nor are you. And we are not who we were 10 years ago. We are being transformed. So continue in that looking up process while you are being transformed. You're like, well, I'm not looking up enough yet. Well, keep looking up when you remember to look up and watch God continue to transform who you are. And in 5 years, someone say, whoa, haven't you grown? Not because of the turkey, but because you just keep looking at Jesus. And you find yourself sniffing on the ground every once in a while. Oh, wait a minute, what am I doing? And then what my personal experience is, and maybe yours is too, is over time you find yourself, wait a minute, I've been looking up more. Just keep looking up. Here's a good one. You ready for this? I'll hurry up. If we are found positionally in Christ, we do not need to fear his coming. If we are found positionally in Christ, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's died on the cross to pay all of the punishment for my sin. I deserve to be up there because I've done wrong. He did it for me. If I believe that his righteousness is applied to my life, I'm sealed, signed, and on my way to be delivered. All right? And so now I don't have to fear when he comes back. Right? Here's a good example of this. Peter, After Jesus died, buried, and rose from the dead, what did Peter go do? This is Peter, the one we're writing about. I'm reading about. We're not writing about it. My bad. What did Peter go do? Think. After Jesus died, what was Peter found doing? He went back to the old life. So what happened? There's a man, some guy was on the seashore while Peter was out in the boat. Some guy, he was on the seashore. He was like, hey, throw the net on the other side. Peter's like, who is this guy? What does he think? He knows everything? Throw the net on. Boys, just throw the net on the other side. Gosh, be quiet. Throw the net on the other side, boys. Throw the net on the other side. We can't even get the net in. There's so many fish in it. He looks back to the seashore, and who's he see now? Who is it the whole time? It's Jesus. What does Peter do? He jumps out. He don't even wait. Swims to Jesus. Gets to the seashore, and what happens? Oh, he has breakfast with him, doesn't he? What was Peter doing? And so he watched and saw Jesus. He went to the seashore, and what did Jesus do? Served him. Oh, wait a minute. Just like he said he would. And Luke chapter 12, when he said, whoever's found watching, I will gird myself when we get there, and I will serve him, and we'll eat. Here he is. Not only do we see Jesus saying it, but before it even happens, he shows us what he's going to do. That's a good one right there. All right, so listen to this. Look up. Maybe you went back fishing. Maybe you're like, man, I'm tired of waiting around, man. Oh, I made this mistake again. Ugh. Did Jesus give Peter a 4-hour lecture? Did he say, Peter, I need to see your credentials. Like, what's going on? Are you even who you say you are, bro? He said, Jesus, you got, Peter, you got to die, bro. Let's eat. When he says die, he means put that old away. Come on, get up. That's not helpful. Follow me. And so this morning, maybe you're like, there's no way, Jose. I done went back fishing. Maybe you're listening. Yeah, you, watching or listening. Maybe you're not even here because you don't want to be here because you feel like you went to the old life, but you just still want to get fed. Just jump back in, man. He's ready. Get in the water. He's going to serve you. It's not about you being bad. It's about him being good. It's not about, look, if that was the case, who the heck, why would I be up here? I'd be somewhere in a parking lot 500 miles from here. I couldn't share the word if it was about being good. I'm not good. He's good. That's why I'm here. All right, so listen, praise the Lord. This is another good one. I read this morning, this book, okay? I'm promoting a book, apparently. I'm not promoting the book. It was a good chapter. So anyways, this is a pastor in Washington, D.C. Many of you know this book, okay? Some of you heard about this book. It's been a blessing to me. So I know we got to hurry up. I just want to read something really quickly out of this book. Really? All right. Lord, yeah. All right. Two things I want to mention. Listen to this. Can I read this? I'm sorry if it's boring. I think you'll like it, though. It says, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Exodus 3:5. If I get a little, while I'm reading this, I'm sorry. I'll hang in there, all right? General Cecil Richardson is a retired chief of chaplains for United States Air Force. While stationed in D.C., General Richardson attended one of our campuses and spoke to our men's ministry one weekend. So he's a retired chaplain. He spoke at this church one weekend after he had been retired. He spoke to the men's ministry. As a major general, he understands a chain of command. So when the Holy Spirit gives marching orders, he salutes, falls into rank, and obeys the orders. So cool. That's what happened one Saturday when he was awakened at 5:30 a.m. with an inexplicable prompting to get new glasses. His wife had been telling him for years that he needed new glasses, but he had ignored her prompting. This new prompting was a strange one at a strange time, 5:30 in the morning, remember. And the problem, of course, is that optical shops aren't open early on weekends. So the general had a long breakfast at Denny's, and then he visited the nearest vision center just as it opened. When he got to the shop, Cecil felt led to tell a woman behind the counter that he was a chaplain. He resisted at first because he didn't want her to think he wanted a military discount of some sort, but he felt she needed to know. So he saluted the Holy Spirit and simply said, "I'm a chaplain." That's when this woman started trembling and tears filled her eyes. This is good. She said, "My husband is in the military and stationed abroad, and I just found out I have cancer. I have no idea what to do. So yesterday, a friend and I prayed that God would send me a chaplain, and here you are." These are the, yeah, bro, it's good. These are the moments that give you goosebumps. These are the moments when you are reminded that God cares about every detail of your life. These are the moments when you take off your shoes because you know you're standing on holy ground. I took off my shoes when I read that this morning. I was like, oh, snap. Let me read one more. It is what it is, man. Let's just do this. A few years ago, I heard an author, Ken Gobb, share one of the most amazing prayer testimonies I've ever heard. He and his family were driving on I-75 near Dayton, Ohio, when they decided to stop at a restaurant. This is awesome. Ken's wife and children went right into the restaurant while he stretched his legs. He walked by a nearby gas station while he was stretching his legs. He heard a payphone ringing. The phone kept ringing. Ken thought it might be some sort of emergency, so he answered it. He heard the voice of an operator who said, "Long distance for Ken Gobb." Ken almost passed out. He said, "You got to be kidding me. I was just walking in the middle of nowhere and heard this phone ringing." The confused operator said, "Is this Ken Gobb? Is he there?" After making sure there weren't any candid cameras, he said, "This is Ken Gobb." A voice on the other side of the line said, "Mr. Gobb, my name is Millie. I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You don't know me, but I need your help." This is good. She went on to explain that she had just written a suicide note, but had decided to give prayer one more shot. She said, "God, I don't really want to do this." And as she prayed, she remembered seeing Ken Gobb on television. She thought to herself, "If I could just talk with him, he could help me." But this was pre-Google, making it extremely difficult to track him down. As she prayed, some numbers popped into her head, and she wrote them on a piece of paper. She couldn't help but think, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if God were giving me Ken's number?" Then Millie said, "I decided to try calling the number, and I couldn't believe when the operator said it was you. The joker was in another city, and the payphone was ringing, and God gave the woman the payphone's number." Here's another one. Think about Moses. Moses killed an Egyptian, had a dream of leading the Hebrews free from slavery in Egypt. That was in his heart. I want to lead my people free from Egypt. He got so mad when an Egyptian was fighting with a Hebrew. What did he do? He killed him. Then what did he do? He ran and hid. And what did he do while he was waiting? While he was hiding? Oh, watching sheep. Just watching sheep out here in the wilderness. How long was he watching sheep? 40 years. Then what happened? A burning bush. God called him, said, "Hey, yo, bro, let's go." What did he do when God called him? He took his shoes off. Because why? Because God was talking. He was standing on holy ground. So then what did he do? He went back and God used him to deliver the people. Question, how long did it take before they got to cross the Jordan? Oh, 40 years. The whole time he thought he was cast out, 40 years, God was preparing him for the next 40 years where he was going to have to watch a bunch of other sheep. You might think this morning, "I've done been put off, cast out, he's done with me." And if you'd only realize that he's just preparing you for what's next. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you put your trust in Jesus, put your trust in Jesus and follow him. Watch. Oh, sorry. I don't know where we're at, Lord. 14. All right, last five verses here. All right, here we go. This is good. We're closing up. Carson, if you want to get ready, you can come up here, buddy. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. And which is so notice what Peter's doing here. He is authenticating Paul's writing. Some people say, oh, that's old hat, or Paul's letters weren't inspired. Peter, dude, this was, what, 80, 90, 70, 60 AD, and he is already authenticating that Paul's letters are inspired. That's something to know when people doubt the scriptures. In which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Excuse me. We. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. Beware. Being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. He's like, look, you might not Jesus come through, but he says he's coming through. Don't worry about that. But while you're waiting and watching for him, grow in your knowledge of him. Because they're going to try and smack you. Be ready. Be equipped. And don't be unsteadfast, but be steadfast. Yeah. Yeah. You know, here's a good thing about church. Let me put it this way. We are the church, right? If you've asked Jesus to forgive you for sins, guess what? You're the church. And so someone here in Africa this morning, where Roderick's led someone to Christ recently, or down in Peru, or Brian's led someone to Christ, or Adam over in Tanzania, all of our friends and friends we don't even know, Billy Graham led someone to the Lord probably 30 years ago. Guess what? We are the church. All right? And that's important for us to remember. But here's a benefit of hanging out together. I get encouraged when I hang out with other believers. I get filled up. I get built up to go back into the battle while I'm waiting and watching for Jesus. This isn't a message for you should come to the way. This is a message for make sure you're assembling yourselves together. Okay? Because you get encouraged in the midst of it. Romans 5:4-5. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So, Carson's about to lead us in communion, okay? Question is this. Can you mute this 30 seconds? So here's the deal. Here's a summary before we have communion, all right? And musicians, if you want to come up, that's fine. While we distribute. Thank you for your patience as well. 2 Peter chapter 3, they're going to scoff, okay? They're going to scoff. He's not late. He's just waiting another second. Are we living watching? Do we live like what we believe? And here's the deal. There is going to be destruction on the earth. But Jesus wants you to give your life to Christ. That's it. It's simple. Will you trust him with your life right now? Will you say, here's my life. I've owned it. I've been owning my life, okay? I've been making my decisions. Some things, not so well have they gone. Other things, they've gone pretty good. But I'm not the Lord's. I haven't been forgiven of my sins for those times that it didn't go so well. I lied. I stole that thing. I cheated. Oh, I thought that. I haven't honored the Lord. I've put all kinds of other things before him. I've done all that. And God says, okay, you're going to be punished, or you can believe that I already took your punishment. Which one do you want? Either you get separated from me for eternity, or you allow Jesus to have already done it for you. It's called the Great Exchange. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. The Great Exchange. Your sin for his righteousness. You give him your sin, he gives the righteousness of Jesus Christ to you. How do you receive it? Just open the present up and believe. So this morning, will you receive it? You don't have to juggle. You don't have to dance. You just receive it. Will you receive it? Maybe you've gone astray. Maybe you went back fishing. Maybe you haven't been serving because you've been fishing. Maybe you haven't came to church and you're listening because you've been fishing. And Jesus says, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to save you. Will you give me your life again? Just come. He's going to make you some fine food. I imagine somebody can cook some food. It's going to be him. So this morning, will you say yes to Jesus? You can simply do it like this. Dear Jesus, talk to him. Go ahead. Talk to him. Talk to him. Tell him. Tell him he's alive. He's not dead. He's not some guy in a coffin. He is on the throne. He's alive. What did Jesus say to Thomas? Thomas, blessed are you because you see and believe, but blessed are those who believe without seeing. And so this morning, if I've been talking, God's got this big old stir pot, and he's stirring your heart up. He's stirring your heart up. Well, now he's done his part. Are you going to receive it? Dear Jesus, I've done wrong things, and I don't deserve to be with you. But thank you for taking my punishment, because you love me so much. I believe that you are Lord. I believe you rose from the dead, and I believe you're alive. I give my life to you. I give my life to you. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, so Carson's going to lead us in communion. They'll play music either at some point whenever he says, but I hope you are blessed. I love you. I love you so much.